Should we live by rules or by convictions? And what is the difference? There's something very important when it comes to revival in this distinction: convictions versus rules. Let's talk all about it in part two of my four-part series called Seeking Revival. Hi, I'm Lisa Whittle, a little fired up, a lot in love with Jesus, and never filtered around here. Welcome to the revival season of the Jesus Over Everything show. We're in part two of my four-part series called Seeking Revival, and I hope you'll listen to every episode in this series because I truly believe this series is crucial for revival. I don't think we formalize revival, so don't get that mixed up. In fact, that's a lot of what this episode itself is all about. But at the same time, I do believe these four and really five episodes that I'm dropping called Seeking Revival, there's a bonus episode as well, so that's why I'm saying five here. These conversations that we are having on revival have really important elements to a movement of God, not just corporately, but more important, inside of us. Because remember, revival starts individually. And then by the time we see it corporately, that's a bunch of hearts that have been turned toward God that we see then in a big movement that happens corporately, globally, whatever we see. God wants to move inside of us. God wants to change us. God wants us to experience Him in a place of revival, all of us, no question. But we can hinder that. I firmly believe that. I'll talk more about that in another show in this series. If you've ever studied revivals, you know that one of the marks of a revival is how unconventional and unpredictable it is. Very unconventional, very unpredictable. I've used the word rogue before when I've been describing revivals, but that word sometimes has a bad connotation to it. But in the sense that rogue is sort of following its own path, marching to its own beat, there is a definition of it that takes that form, one that is not full of rules. I think it fits here when it comes to revival. That is true. And I think that's what fascinates people about revivals, is that revivals are not something that, for all of our programming with church and all of our learning, what are the best methods to bring on experiences with people, spiritual experiences, the movement of the Lord in revivals aren't like that. And I think there's something about that that just gets our blood pumping in a different way. We're like, how did this happen? What did that look like? And we have been over here trying to figure out how to make these incredible experiences happen in a church setting. And yet revival follows none of those rules. Revivals just happen. And we can't know how they happen in so many ways. And we don't know when they're going to pop up. And they just sort of take us by surprise. And it's incredible. And I think that's what drew people to something like Asbury Revival last year. A lot of people had never heard of Asbury College or Asbury University. I don't know which it is. They never visited this smaller school in Kentucky, but suddenly this place was experiencing a move of God. Now people are driving in from all over. Some flew in because they wanted to see what was happening. And I think some came with a bit of skepticism. They came to see, is it real? I think if we're being honest, they thought, is this real? What's going on here? Some, I think, came to see, and let's just be honest about this too. How can we mimic this back at our church? How can we get this started back at our church? And of course, it doesn't work like that. But man, we love to figure out a spiritual formula if we possibly can, don't we? And we'll be like, oh, I want to do what they're doing. And there's nothing wrong with looking at people who are experiencing an incredible move of God and wanting to be near that and wanting to see how God is working. And maybe there is something to glean from that and learn from that. I mean, that's why we're doing these shows, even Seeking Revival. I think there are things that we can cling to and learn from. But just to say, let me mimic what's happening there and let me try to bring it back to my home doesn't necessarily happen that way. So here we are, the outside looking in at old revivals of the past and learning from things like I've studied in books, like the Welsh Revival of the early 1900s. And we're looking at things like spontaneous singing and prayer and confession and lingering. And this is what often happens in the states of revival. In the Welsh revival, as I mentioned, in the early 1900s, I talk all about that, by the way, in my book, I Want God. The young revivalist, Evan Roberts, used to not preach in some places if he felt the Spirit was leading in that way. Instead, he would stay seated and he would pray because he did not want to mess up what God was doing by opening his mouth. And really has struck me about this is that the audience was no different than today. I mean, they came to hear this young revivalist, Evan Roberts, as sort of a popular speaker. He was known at that time, someone that people wanted to hear. The approach, though, that he took was very different because he didn't care what was on the schedule. He didn't care what was planned. He didn't live by rules, but by the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Because can you imagine today if a popular speaker came to speak and they were like, you know what? I just feel so compelled by the Holy Spirit. I'm just not going to get up and speak. I'm just going to sit here and pray. Carry on with what's going on here. But I'm so sorry. I know you came to hear me speak, but I'm actually not going to do it tonight. You know how many people would be disappointed and mad? You know how many people would say, I paid $48 for this ticket and my favorite author is not going to speak? And that's what happens when you have all of these rules and a lot of money involved and all of those things. And I'm not saying I'm here to solve those problems. I don't know how to solve those problems, actually. And I'm a part of that process when I go to speak. But here's what I said. This is the Spirit of Evan Roberts, the one who is craving revival. It's a Spirit that I want for my life in ministry, to live not by rules, but by convictions. I want that. I think we need this in leadership. This is what's going to have to happen. Because if it does not happen, then what we're doing is saying, God, you can only go so far. You can only take us so far in our churches. You can only take us so far in our ministries. You can only take us so far in our lives. We've got the plan handled from there. We want you to move, but only so much. Only over in this corner, only over in this box. But beyond that, we just can't allow you to do it because people are depending on us for this, because people have paid money for this ticket. And do we really want revival if we're only allowing God to move so much? So what does that look like in our daily life? Well, I think we first of all start with talking a little about rules and what has happened when we don't understand why that has become a problem. Because what we're seeing now in Christianity is people are wanting to abandon the faith because of rules that they were perhaps raised with that had little to do with the true depth of relationship with the Lord and much more to do with rituals and perfectionism and outside appearances of perfect Christians and even perfect Christian families going to church. And in the process, that hurt many of us and made us question the validity and reality of God. Because if you can formalize God, if you can formalize everything, not only in the church, but God himself, then it is easy to question his validity and the reality of it, because you don't know when performance and the dog and pony show starts and where God stops. Right? You don't know where the line is. You don't know what's real and what's not real. And Satan is very sly like that. And there's nothing more harmful than violations that are wrapped in faith, because those make you question your very own identity in Christ. That is why the abuse that has happened with spiritual leadership, whether it be spiritual leadership that has been a part of just church abuse, right, where there's just been a very toxic, overbearing authority in the church, and that's created problems emotionally for us, or physical and sexual abuse in the church. There's nothing more egregious, not one single thing, because it's wrapped up in faith. And faith and our identity is so crucial that that has hurt so many people. It's the worst and most egregious thing that can happen is if any of those violations happen within faith leadership and in the church, because Satan has a heyday with that. And so what better place to have hurt and pain happen than in the church by church people and church leaders, even better, who were the ones making the faith rules? What better thing to have happen? Because if those people were wrong or bad, then nothing in that faith system is real or matters. And so what we are seeing a lot of now is folks raised with heavy faith rules, legalism, who are swinging the pendulum way the other way and saying the answer now is no rules. Faith is love, and love is about no rules. And it may surprise you to hear me say this, but I agree that faith and love and Jesus is not about rules. I agree. And so, if we want revival in our hearts, and many of us coming from that space of heavy legalism especially need it, we have to say, no, it's not about the rules. And not just in a soundbite like the church loves to say, no, it's not about rules, it's about a relationship. That is so very true. That statement is 100% true. But we have to live this way, not just say it. We need to mean it. We need to mean it. Because it's not about rules. It is about a relationship. But that yoke of rules and legalism has confused us to death. And so now a lot of us think that the relationship is one where God loves us. And in that, he does not care what we do. And his love allows for us to do whatever we want. And that is also simply not true. It's not true. So here's where we get into convictions. While rules are not how we want to live, won't bring on revival, and I firmly stand by what I say, that faith and love in Jesus is not about rules, convictions are crucial. Jesus and love and faith is about convictions. We've given our whole life to the conviction that Jesus died for us. We live for him and for the kingdom of God. Convictions are the standards by which we live, which very well may be and most of the time will be different from other people and almost always the world. Convictions are not about doing whatever we want. Oh no. Convictions are where our heart draws us to do what God wants. And when we differ from the world, if we do not live by our standards and convictions, we will not be willing to make the decisions that will honor God first, who we gave our entire life to. We will be hungry to be liked and popular more than we will be willing to say the difficult things if we do not live by our standards and convictions. We might not be willing to have the hard but necessary conversations, which is quite honestly why I believe the church has hurt our influence and allowed the world to lead out in conversations that we should be leading out in. Things like sexual purity, mental health, emotions, poverty and the poor, corruption, money, just to name a few. If we don't live by our convictions, we will not speak up for the important things, and at the important moments, we will let the world speak. We will be intoxicated by the hype of the world rather than the depth of discipleship. We won't be willing to lose our life for the sake of the gospel. That is no rule. That is a conviction. No rule like that will ever compel us or will ever compel anyone else to be drawn to that type of lifestyle. And so if we want revival, friend, we have to be willing to say, I won't live by rules, no, but I will live by my convictions. Rules are doing what other people tell us to do. Convictions are doing what the Bible says to do. And this is what we need in this time. This is what we need to bring revival to our own hearts and corporately to this world. You've been listening to Jesus Over Everything with Lisa Whittle. Want to know how to love God with your whole heart and revive your soul? Don't forget to order a copy of my book, I Want God, by heading over to lisawhittle.com/I Want God. But get ready for revival, because this book is not for the faint of heart. I truly believe it will shift something in you when you read it.